Thank you. It's always a pleasure to come to these meetings and listen to the talks and try to figure out how we can actually apply the information in the field. And what we're going to be talking about is how you would use some of the information we've gathered and we've heard this morning, even on deep and infrequent irrigation and applications in golf turfs. And we're going to look mainly at greens management right now, for example, something like this one in the low desert of California. So our objective in this study is to figure out if there's some way that we can get a rapid in-field audit of the irrigation distribution. When we're trying to diagnose problems in the field, they can be caused by a number of things, and water application is one that really is one of those issues. And we wanted to try to validate some sort of a rapid technique to see how well it works. And why bother is the same reason that we've seen a lot of cases. We keep hearing about it. Unnecessary water use is a problem. We want to have a rapid system. We also want to be able to look at not just the water that's going down, but the design of the irrigation system that's putting that water out and how it's performing. To give you an idea of what we see frequently is a situation like this, illustrated in this photograph, where you have an area that's declining, and in this case, they must have applied every fungicide that was possible in their room, in their shed, and they still had a declining turf situation. And we came back into a situation like this and just put standard catch cans out, and we see that there's a good correlation between precipitation rate delivered and turf quality. Very nice relationship. So that was nice, but it takes catch cans to get that type of result. And we also looked at greens firmness in a number of locations, and we find that we see a nice negative correlation between soil moisture content and firmness of the green. So as the water level in the green is higher, the green gets softer. Nothing unusual about that. Those two factors are two that we're very interested in, if it's too dry or too wet. So the virtual irrigation audit, what we're talking about here, is just a rapid geospatial evaluation of the irrigation distribution to identify probable low and high precipitation areas. And it's very simple, it's very rapid, and it's very easy to conduct. Just as easy as mapping the perimeter of the green, identifying the location of the irrigation heads, just using GPS, GIS, which that would be a global positioning system to mark your location, and the GIS would be the geographic information system, the software that allows you to visualize the result. And then you want to project the throw of that irrigation head and to see if it actually works. And you wouldn't believe how simple it is, and it's kind of interesting to see how and see what you think. So you just map it, and this just takes about 5 minutes to walk around the perimeter of a green, another probably 5 minutes to drop in the irrigation heads, just walk to each head, plug them in, and then to throw out the theoretical distribution of that head. So you need to know that the head that the superintendent's using, pressure that he thinks he's delivering the water on, and then what the manufacturer specifies for that throw. In this case, we're talking about a Toro 830s, I'll find this cursor here, and the head should be spaced at 60 feet to get those to operate properly at 65 PSI. For the final step is you just look at the number of heads, where you have two heads impacting this area, three heads impacting here, four heads hitting this area. You would expect you might have drier system, drier turf around this area than you would in the center. And it seems quite clear, but you need to validate something like this, but you might be getting twice as much water in this area as you are over on the side. So when we're talking about applying some of these deep and frequent versus short daily irrigations, when you look at these types of systems, it sort of is a nightmare. What are they actually applying to the turf? The equipment we used was a Trimble Ag GPS 132 submeter GPS system. Any submeter system will work fine. We picked a HGIS software package from StarPal, just because it's simple and easy. If you're trying to get into these systems and just be quick, this system works really well. And we use the Tripod Data Systems handheld computer just because it's you're going to be working in irrigation systems. You want something that's going to be waterproof and durable. To validate the system, we took the virtual audit and also went ahead and looked at precip rates determined by catch cans out in the field, and then we also looked at the theoretical precip rates from the heads based on manufacturer specs, and we took a look at soil moisture. So I'll go through each one of those systems. This was that 4,500 square foot green we're talking about, just to give you a rough idea where we're looking, and the placement of the catch cans, which we use just a shoebox system to collect the water. Each one of the catch cans were geo-referenced. The grid was placed by using the GIS software to throw the grid samples, and you just place the cans on each one of the grid spots. And this is what the locations look like. So that's the 49 heads that were used for the catch can locations. Run the system for 10 minutes, and you get a simple read on the number of cc's or mils that were delivered over that 10-minute period. And then you can look at the, just to check out how the things are looking on this, on distances. These are supposed to be placed 60 feet. You can see there are some here 55 and 59. These two heads were pretty good, but the 72 here's a stretch, and it's a little too tight on this end. And with these closed-spaced heads up here, you might think you might get more water placed up here, and we'll check and see if that actually holds. So for the virtual audit, what we're looking at is the observed precipitation rate on the y-axis, and on the bottom is the number of heads. And the idea is just, do we get more water where there's two heads hitting? It seems kind of obvious that you would, but you've got to validate it to find out. You do, and the differences are significant. You get significantly more water where there's two heads than there is when there's three, and then there is when there's four. The regression is significant, not a great fit, but it gives you an idea that, yeah, you can take a look at these things. You're not going to get exactly how much water goes on where there's two heads, but you get less water where there's two, and you get a lot more water when there's four. So you got a pretty significant problem when your irrigation setup is like this, and it's very common in the field. For theoretical precipitation, we took the geo-referenced heads, and then we threw water out based on the distance from the head to each one of those catch cans, and a function of how the water is distributed based on manufacturer specs, or we use the Center for Irrigation Technologies catch can assays. And distance is easily calculated from each one of the heads using this equation. It looks obnoxious, but it's pretty simple. This works if you're in short distances on the surface of the earth, but not for like between cities, but when you're looking in these small distances, this simple equation works fine. If you look at the CIT assays for irrigation heads, and the webpage is noted right here, you can go there and find out a lot of the standard heads, the Toro 830 at 65 PSI, the distance in feet from the head, and the precip rate that the head throws on the y-axis. And they also provide the actual observed values, each 2 feet stretch from the irrigation head. From that data, we went ahead, because we're sort of working on rough estimates of what's going on anyway. We fit a line to the curve, and that allowed us to estimate precip rate based on distance from the head for any one of those distances. Just a simple way to estimate that value. The results would be taken by measuring each one of these, calculating the distance to each one of these heads from each irrigation head, and then it throws a certain amount of water from each one of those heads using all those heads. The result we got was similar, where you have the number of heads on the x-axis, theoretical precip rate, and it worked pretty well. So you do, theoretically, you get more water if more heads hit the area. Not a surprise, but it's good to know. And we also found out that we had a theoretical precip rate and observed precip rate that was well correlated, but it's we're observing about 40% more water going out than we thought we would, theoretically. If you compare those two systems, just using a simple contour map, we find out that we do get more water in the areas that get 3 and 4 irrigations hitting the system, and less water in the areas where 2 irrigation heads are hitting. Not a surprise there. And theoretically, it works out the same type of a system. So we're pretty comfortable that we can get an estimate of those types of changes. And then with the soil moisture survey, we use the Spectrum Technologies TDR300 and geo-referenced just a walking pattern. We didn't do a grid pattern out there to get a rough idea. But the results came out fairly interesting also. And this is the precip rate versus volumetric water content on the right side. The red, what we don't have the ability to do is to show standard numbers on here, because the red is, they mean two different things on each graph. This is ranging between 16 and 24% soil moisture content. So the red, which you think might be a bad area, is really not. It's got adequate moisture to way too wet, up to 36% moisture. And we're seeing that the wet area on this green was over in the side where we would expect it to be drier. When after we looked at this a little bit more closely, we took another look at the data and looked out in the field, and they actually had a surrounds head impacting this side of the green. So we had them cut the angle back on this head so it doesn't impact the green to fix that situation. So it works pretty well as far as diagnostic purposes. It's very simple. Rather than trying to throw out catch cans, it's very difficult to go out there with a tape measure and measure and try to figure it out, and you can just visually show the guy what's going on. So in conclusion, the virtual audits are fast, they're easy. The accuracy of the audit is sufficient for real-time diagnostic purposes. It's much better than just trying to guess or turn the heads on. We've all done that, just watch the heads turn around and say, it looks like it's working. And the TDR soil surveys add a little effect to that assay, because you can see out there with your TDR, wow, we got a lot of water here and we shouldn't. Then you start looking around to try to figure out where that water is coming from. Okay, do we have any questions? Yes.
Larry, did you take into consideration elevation on the data analysis?
We didn't consider the elevation on this one. No. Question was, did we consider elevation? Is there any other questions? I'll show you. Well, I've got 1 second. I'll just show you. I'll just flip. Here was another nightmare, just to give you another example how we applied it, just to take a look. This was a large green in the desert that has this type of an irrigation head layout. So the green is just huge. They've got six heads, and who knows what's going on in this middle area. If you sort of use our standard kind of ideas, two and three heads, which is bad. I think from what we've seen so far, we have greens that have three and four heads hitting areas, which is not bad, but when you have just two heads hitting, it gets a little bit dicey. We placed some catch cans in some of these key areas to see what was going on. Same sort of thing. We got the similar relationships between number of heads hitting and what's going on. So anyway, I'll stop there so we can keep on track. Thank you.